everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and I'd like to welcome you to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me. As always, I have such an interesting show in store for you today. I love doing these interviews and having these in-depth conversations because we all learn and we all grow and we all get empowered as we gain new knowledge and more truthful information. So that is really the theme and the purpose of the program. And today is another one of those great interviews. I always like to welcome new listeners, and if you are listening for the very first time, welcome. I hope you will be listening again and again. I just received some stats from the station, and I'm really excited because I am listed, What Women Must Know is listed in the top 10 of the most popular programs on Progressive Radio Network, which I think is a great honor, and I thank all of you for listening and helping to spread the word because this is such a special show that really is making such a difference in people's lives. So thank you all for being loyal listeners, and I look forward to many more empowering conversations with you. Today we're going to be talking about a topic that really has gotten my interest and attention. We're going to be talking about how scars impact our health and how to heal them. We have so many procedures that are, first of all, the elective procedures. We're talking about, whether it's facelifts or breast implants or whatever they may be. In fact, I was just looking at some statistics, and there's a growing incidence of women who are doing prophylactic mastectomies, which is, a really invasive surgery. And then we have all the other surgeries that go on in our country, from gallbladder surgeries, liver surgeries, surgeries on hip replacements, knee replacements, and we can go on and on and on, and how many variations on a theme of surgeries, or perhaps just a really bad scrape or a really bad burn or bad cut, and we never really give a second thought about what is the impact from the scarring that results from these situations, circumstances, surgeries. And it's a mind-blowing topic because as we explore it today with one of my favorite people and a world expert on the topic, I think it's going to open people's eyes to what is really going on, the impact of what a scar does to your body. And the good news is what we can do. What are the solutions that will allow us to repair, regenerate the body after it has experienced some scarring? So it's a great topic, and the person to really guide us on this journey today is Dr. John Hache, who is such an inspiration in my life. I have personally learned so much from him. He's one of my, I would call him, mentors, and especially in the world of microcurrent therapy. So let me just tell you a little bit about him. John is a graduate from the Quebec Institute of Naturopathy and completed his studies in homeopathy. John graduated from Quebec's leading school of herbology, where he became a member of the Quebec Association of Phytotherapists. Other trainings include microscopy and chirotechnology and stem cell research with Chirotech Labs. He received his doctorate in natural medicine, is a registered member of the World Organization of Natural Medicine Practitioners. After founding two naturopathic schools, John continues to lecture on the principles and application of homotoxicology, homeopathy, and naturopathy throughout Canada for different professional organizations. Since 2000, the year 2000, John has lectured extensively throughout Europe and North America on the use of interactive neurostimulation, as well as instructing for neurotherapy and feedback certification boards, and is currently president of the Biofeedback Association of North America. So, with all of that grand introduction, it's such a pleasure to welcome Dr. John Hache with me today, talking about scars. So, John, welcome, and as always, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, thank you very much, Cheryl, for having me. It's always an honor to be part of that of your program, and congratulations, top 10. That is quite an achievement.
It's very exciting. I didn't have any idea. When you're out there in radio land, you don't really know who's listening unless I get some emails, which I always love receiving emails and feedback. So if all of those wonderful listeners out there want to get in touch with me, please feel free. I'm always available, and I answer all my emails as well. So, John, we're going to be talking about this topic that really few people totally understand, the impact of scars. And I'm just going to hand it over to you, and let's start educating people about why scars are such a problem to our body's ability to heal and repair, and just, you know, the whole big story that no one's really talking about except a few people like yourself. And we're going to also talk about what people can do and the solutions. So I'm just going to let you jump right in there, and let's start at the beginning and talking about why cutting into the body can be a problem.
Yeah, that's it is a subject that not that many people talk about, unfortunately. Even medicine have started different programs where they have been studying scar tissue as being a block to healing, even in implants. So it wasn't so much an organ reject that they're looking at, but they're looking at the possibility of the scar tissue itself being the cause for the reject. I'm looking down at one of my acupuncture models. It's a it's a doll. It stands about 2 feet high. It's a male model thing, and it's got these meridians that go up and down in Chinese medicine. A lot of people are able to identify with meridians with Chinese medicine. And these meridians, it turns out, are actually collagen fibers. And they are supposed to communicate with every single cell that makes up your body. And I don't know if people are aware how many cells make up your body. There's actually 50 trillion of them. 50 trillion is plus or less, more or less, depending on your size, I guess. But let's say 50 trillion cells that each have their little lives that need to communicate with each other. And they need to communicate with your brain. So every little cell out there does its little wiggle and jiggle and does its excretion and secretion and whatever it does and makes a copy of itself, has all of the organs and systems of the whole body just in a single cell. So it needs a way to communicate, and it's been found that collagen fiber actually makes up the biggest part of your body. Is the most ubiquitous of all of the materials in your body is actually collagen fiber. And collagen fiber, it turns out, is the way the body communicates to the brain and the brain to the body along these collagen fibers that make up and touch every one of the, every single cell in your body, every nook and cranny. So what happens when you cut through them, through a communication network? So we're looking now at your body more as a communication system with cells chattering to each other all day long. So what happens when you cut off or cut into the communication system? It means that you no longer have this fiber optic-like fiber that carries information. Now you have information that becomes garbled. And garbled information within any kind of system is not a good idea. And that may create pain. It may create pain at a distance. It may be keeping you from healing. And it may cut into the communication system itself. So scar tissue is very, very important. Not that much research has gone into it, because there's not a pill for scar tissue. And we know that pharmaceuticals are pretty well the ones that that dictate help in the way they see help. They write it all over their pharmacies, you know, and they, over their panels and everywhere within the schools and the areas where we teach medicine. It's all about pharmaceuticals. So there's not a pill for scar tissue. So you're not going to see a whole lot of information on scar tissue itself. But what we're starting to understand is that when you when scar tissue replaces that collagen, collagen normally, when you look at it, there are little films that have been made on the inside of the body looking at fascia, scar tissue, or collagen. Collagen itself is kind of unique. It's made like a hemp rope with three fibers, if you will, and they follow a spiral-esque shape. And one of the unique things about this wonderful collagen is that it is water-bound. And being water-bound, it acts almost like a proton jump system. It communicates information very, very rapidly throughout the body at the speed of light, just about, or maybe beyond, who knows. But what happens when it's when that collagen fiber is replaced with a scar tissue is that it is no longer waterbound. So instead of acting as a conductor conducting information from point A to point B, it becomes a capacitor, which means that it builds electrical charge, and that electrical charge can go all the way up to 1.5 volts. 1.5 volts is the size of a small battery, and it's like putting a car battery into your laptop computer or to your cell phone. It would probably start smoking after a short period of time, but in your body it doesn't smoke. All it does is that it shuts down other communication systems in the vicinity and sometimes far away, because collagen also has the capacity of being able to send information down long pathways all the way from the brain down to the toe and the toe back up to the brain, that sort of thing. So how important is scar tissue, and how do we stabilize, how do we rehydrate that dehydrated collagen that we're expecting to carry information once more? That is the question. A long time ago, many years ago, when I was more active in acupuncture, we used to use a substance called procaine. And procaine, we used to put it on the end of our acupuncture needles, and we used to puncture like a bootlace, where we go from left to right to left to right to left to right, and we would crisscross the scar, knowing that procaine had the capacity of being able to neutralize the electrical buildup on the scar. But the problem was procaine, you could see it in an X-ray years later. We left a residue, we left a trace or a footprint of what we had done, and that wasn't good either. And kind of was disruptive on its own, but it was the best thing that we knew of at the time. Until about 20 years ago, 18 years ago, I met a Russian physician who gave me a tip. I asked him, I said, how do you get rid of scar tissue or the electrical buildup on scar tissue? And he says that with a microcurrent device set at 77 hertz. I said, that works. He says, every time. So we adopted that as the program, as a frequency within the microcurrent devices that we work with. And one of the first rules that I set up, because I've established myself pretty well as a teacher and instructor in microcurrent application, because of the wonderful outcomes that we're getting. And I've been doing this for over 18 years now. So what we have done is we've incorporated the neutralization of electrical buildup on scar tissue into all of our microcurrent devices.
John, can I just jump in? I wanted to explain what microcurrent technology is in a minute, but I have a couple of questions to ask you. So does all scar tissue cause a problem? So, and when we talk about scar tissue, let's define it. I mean, is it like a scrape on the hand? Is it like a bad cut where it gets sticky?
Anything that cuts into the collagen fiber itself.
So any time you're cutting into the body or scraping, is it like a bad scrape also can cause an interference field from?
Let's put it this way. Below your skin surface, you have another suit of clothing, if you will, that we call fascia. And fascia protects and separates organs and systems within your body, so it has to be below the skin level.
Right. So
although scars on the hand or piercings, for example, are a scar.
Tattoos.
And tattoos are leave residue that we find in your lymphatic system.
So that would be considered a scar.
To the
collagen.
I think that disrupts the electrical conduction and communication within the body.
Wow, just think about that. All these people with piercings and tattoos, not to mention all the other surgeries and, you know, emergencies or elective. So, John, can you give an example? Because I know you have lots of experience. What can a scar do? Do to someone's health? How can it impair? What happens if a person gets a scar, and what kinds of potential problems or conditions could be created from a scar, from an incision of some sort, from a puncture of the skin in some cases?
Yeah, even vaccinations, that sort of thing, they create micro scarring in the tissue down below. So anytime that you do that, every time you pierce the body, you create this blockage of information flow. So what can happen when you block information flow is that you'll feel discomfort, you can feel pain, you'll have the area that was operated on may never feel quite the same. You'll have this numbness. You'll have almost this feeling of disconnection from an organ or a system. I had a fellow, for example, came in to see me in Salt Lake City a couple of months ago. He came in with a cane. He was limping. He also favored his shoulder on the same side that he was holding the cane on, so he was really uncomfortable. He'd been on pain meds. This happened after an operation 38 and a half years ago. Imagine, 38 and a half years. Now, when he had to hold a handrail with two hands when he walked because he would lose communication in his knee and he could fall quite easily, and it caused him no end of discomfort, but he had learned to live with it. And somebody told him that he should go from Chicago, travel to Salt Lake City into one of the trainings that I was doing, and he attended. And here's what happened. We worked on the scar tissue and woke up the nerve conduction along the knee, and then I let him go for a walk. And I worked on the scar tissue in his arm where he had had surgery 38 and a half years ago after a football injury. And he came back about 10 minutes later. I asked him to go for a walk down the hallway in the hotel. And 10 minutes later, he came back and said, "I don't believe this." He said, "My foot has straightened out. The pain that I was feeling is no longer there. I no longer walk with a limp. I don't need my cane." He said, "I don't believe this, that this small device, this small intervention that you did could have changed my life."
Wow.
I have that on video. I'd love to share that.
That's so amazing. I mean, how long was the treatment that you gave him?
20 minutes.
Wow.
And it dragged a bit because I got one of the students to intervene and demonstrate with her on how to do this. So it was a teaching session at the same time that lasted 20 minutes.
And what about referrals? What about other things? Like, what have you seen? Let's talk about things like breast surgeries, whether it's lumpectomies, but more like breast implants or mastectomies. How can that surgery create a scar tissue that could impair organs?
The breast itself, right through the nipple, you'll find a meridian which involves the stomach, the digestive system. Now that can impact that meridian. Also, on the side of the breast, we find another meridian that involves the spleen. The spleen involves, blood flow, any kind of bleeding, that sort of thing. Everything that has to do with blood is involved in the spleen. And that meridian could be affected as well. You'll find other meridians, such as the liver meridian, crosses that area as well. So you can cause disruption in pretty well all of the organs and systems in the body if you're looking at the Chinese medical model.
So people don't understand that.
Universally accepted. Yeah.
So if people have had surgeries or scars or, you know, procedures done where they've cut the body and then they wind up maybe short or long time later with digestive problems, thyroid problems, pain, neurological problems. I mean, this all could be related to that primary event of incision and the scarring. And do all incisions cause scarring?
Some incisions are better made than others. Medical doctors, surgeons, the smarter ones understand fascia, and they will, unless they're doing keyhole surgery, they won't damage the fascia, be very careful of it. But others may cross horizontally through it.
Well, so we just, you know, when I think about that, how many ways the body has been cut into, and without any knowledge of how to repair the fiber optic cables, I like that term, the fiber optic cables that are communicating directly from the body to the brain so it has the ability to heal and repair. So it could cause all sorts of imbalances and disruption, disturbances in these other systems, organ systems, tissues of the body. That's why I'm so glad we're talking about this, because it's a huge piece for people to understand as part of a healing process. You know, anyone who has any type of scarring and dealing with any issues should be treated for the scar as a primary intervention. I think you do. I think you said that you don't treat anybody.
It's our first rule in what we do. Yeah, definitely.
So what's a keloid scar?
A keloid scar is one that when there's a transfer of protein, amino acids across the skin barrier, and it has to be done with vitamin A and zinc, for example. And when there's a lessening of one or the other, you'll find that the skin scars easily. People that have gained weight and lost weight suddenly end up with keloid scars. Those that have been operated on or have been injured, the scar becomes almost like ropey and maybe even discolored, maybe reddish in nature. And scar then becomes a good harbor for pathogens. A pathogen could be bacteria, could be just about anything. And the redder the area, then the more potential for pathogen buildup. So it's a problem that starts with a nutritional deficiency from the start. So don't get yourself operated on, or be careful to not damage yourself, because the skin may not repair properly if you are nutritionally deficient.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I didn't know that. So it's a vitamin A and zinc deficiency that a person has, and then they go in and have a surgery, and the body isn't able to properly repair.
That's right.
Right. You know, I there's another thing I want you to talk about, and that's the impact of cesarean surgery for cesarean births and even episiotomies for women who are, you know, giving birth. What?
Those are all scars. Sometimes because we don't see them or don't have them in our face all day long, we forget about them. Or even deny them. Denial is another thing. And any denial process means they haven't dealt with it.
I was going to ask you, John, what's the consequence have you seen from cesareans? What can cesarean scars, what kind of impact can a cesarean scar have on a woman's health?
It can have a lot. It can have an impact on all of the organs and systems that are within and below that area, whether it be ovarian, uterus, and so on and so forth. Are all in that area. So you would have an area that does not heal, that has not healed properly. And having a second child becomes more difficult because the scar tissue now has crossed horizontally across, has cut through all of these collagen fibers and the what we call the governor meridian.
Well, you know, we have a huge number of women getting cesareans these days, and
yes,
with no thought of what could be long-term implications and health problems if scars aren't properly addressed, which most of the time.
Yeah, some medical doctors will take a look at a woman's cesarean scar and they'll go, oh my God, who did this? And it happens too often.
Yeah, but it's not even a poorly done cesarean. It's any cesarean, any
cesarean, yeah, pretty well.
Because it's cutting, you know, into the collagen
into
fiber.
Into the tissue, then. Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Wow. That's, you know, that's
and also the emotion that connects to a scar. One of the things that I've noticed, because I do treat all scars every time I have a patient and I'll take a look. And the first question is, please draw on this little anatomical chart the areas that you have scar tissue. And once we do find the scar tissue, sometimes I found scar tissue that people didn't even they know they had it. They just put it out of their minds, which means that they hadn't really dealt with it emotionally. Most of the time when you ask somebody if you have a scar, 80% of a room will raise their hands. The scars could be caused by an accident. It could be caused by surgery, so on and so forth. But most people remember the scars that they have, and they can go quite emotional when they go into that scar itself. And people will spend a lot of time sometimes rubbing their scars, which reinforces its presence, reinforces the event in their brains. Your brain can be rewired, and it can also be reinforced. So the emotion can be reinforced. The more every time you touch, you reinforce the emotion that the event that happened. So that emotions are a big part of our physical makeup.
Yes, you know, the body has a memory, and it holds all these things. So scars can activate that, or when we start healing, a scar can activate, which is a good thing because it's allowing blocked energies to be released, and that lets the energy flow. I just find this whole area of collagen so fascinating because we don't really appreciate it. It is the communication system that travels from, you know, all over our body to the brain, and brain gives the messages back of what needs to be done and how to communicate. And it's such a profound system. And every time we cut into the body, we are impairing that communication system, which can have some really serious consequences, as we've been discussing today. So the next question is, when someone has a surgery, and often it's important that we have surgeries, it's not a choice, it's a necessity. What can people do to help repair that those collagen fibers? What can they initially do, either nutritionally or topically? What do you recommend?
Well, definitely I recommend that anybody see somebody who specializes in microcurrent therapy. There are more and more people that we are training monthly, you know, all over the world. People are learning how to use this. And it's not only people in their own homes, but we're seeing medical specialists that are learning to use microcurrent. We're working with physiotherapists. I'm presently working with the Texas Association of Physical Therapy, and who are connected also to the National Association of Physical Therapy. So physical therapists get their continuing education units through our academy, where we teach them how to use microcurrent. So one of the things is, the first thing you want to do is you want to get, if you can find somebody with microcurrent, or get your own device, but you must treat that scar. I don't care if it's on your head, if you're sitting on it, I don't care where it is, you need to have it treated. That's number one. Number two.
Go ahead. And then I'm going to ask you what you think about some of the things that I've been taught. But go ahead. Go do number two, and then I'll ask I'll let you. I don't
want to interrupt. I teach by numbers.
I'm waiting with bated breath. Number two. Okay.
Okay. Number two. What happens when you pass microcurrent over the body? The skin becomes very absorbent, and it will draw in anything that you put in there. So you want to use an oil, such as vitamin E oil, for example, is known to be able to help. What you want. Not only do you want the to disperse the electrical buildup on the scar, but number two, you certainly would want you want the emotion that's connected to that scar to disperse as well. It's nice to know that you were involved in a car accident. It was traumatic. I know all that. But do you want to be reminded of it every day of your life? You just want to move on. You say, okay, I survived. Everything's fine. I got to move on. Right, so you want to get rid of that emotion, and the other one is you also cosmetically, you certainly would like to see it start to wane and disappear over time, and there are different ways of doing that. There are nutritional ways that we talked about earlier on, and we have to be careful of making sure that we have the right foods and the right supplements containing vitamin A and zinc and that sort of thing. The other one is after microcurrent, the skin becomes super absorbent. So you can put vitamin E oil on it, or musk oil, or that sort of thing. And if these oils will help a lot. And I know that you have, you've been around the block a time or two, so you probably have ideas of your own that we can add to that.
Well, I was going to ask you, okay, here are my ideas, and I want us to talk more about microcurrent and kind of explain what it is for people who've never heard it before, but before we do that, I would have people use an enzyme called serrapeptase.
Yeah, definitely.
Have you? Okay, so serrapeptase is this amazing enzyme. When I first learned about it, I was awed, because it's made from the digestive enzymes of a silkworm. So it can break out of the cocoon. It dissolves the fibrotic, the dead material, so it can... how the Japanese figure this out, it's beyond me. But it's an enzyme, and it's readily available, called serrapeptase, S-E-R-R-A-P-E-P-T-A-S-E, serrapeptase, and it dissolves dead tissues in the body, or they call fibrotic tissues, that are part of the scarring process, for instance. So serrapeptase could help dissolve those scar tissues, so those dead tissues in the body. And I would probably also have people use like a nanosilver, which I've talked about before on the show, like the Silver Biotics product, because the silver, I always put silver gel immediately on any cut, because not only does it accelerate the healing and It's antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal, but it also stops the bacteria growing in the scar tissue, which we call microfilms. So it biofilms rather. So it helps the scar to heal. It helps the wound to heal and prevents the scarring. So I don't know if you like silver such as that, John, but that's been pretty powerful in helping skin to heal naturally and reducing the risk of wounds and scarring, at least on the surface. At least on the surface. But I don't know if that really is working on the level of the collagen fibers that we've been talking about.
Well, collagen fibers fundamentally is vitamin C based. And it's kind of funny, in French they call it collagen or collagen. Collagen, and we used to call it like glue or cement that keeps the cells stuck together. It's vitamin C. And vitamin C is fundamentally what makes collagen.
So taking vitamin C would be important.
That would be very important.
Well, we should be taking it for lots of reasons, but it helps with collagen. So let's talk about microcurrent technology. This is one of your areas of mastery, and I know you are a worldwide teacher about microcurrent technology. It was from you that I learned about microcurrent technology, and I actually have a device that we'll talk about called Avazia Life. That is a microcurrent technology that I use with patients and friends and families to help with healing. And you know, we're talking about scarring. It's one of the focuses of this technology. But for people who've never heard about microcurrent technology, how would you introduce it to them?
Well, there's no doubt that the body is electrical. As a matter of fact, if we want to know if you're dead, we check to see if you have any electrical activity in your brain or in your heart. And when that dies off, we know you're dead. So obviously, it's a fact of life that then electricity becomes a very, very big part of our communication system. Electricity is at the micro level. Your heart uses sinusoidal wave, an electrical waveform that we become familiar with in the movies and the things that we see here, unless we have a scope in front of us that we're familiar with. But sinusoidal waves are the most simple waves that we find in nature, bird songs, any noises that are not man-made are sine waves. And so the heart and the brain produce these waves, electrical waves, that help us communicate with every single cell in our body. So our communication system fundamentally is microcurrent. It is, and we're starting to understand now that disease processes start with blockages of communication within the body. And communication being microcurrent that travels along these collagen fibers that we're talking about. So microcurrent then is very vital to everybody's survival. We understand that, for example, that your single cell probably sits somewhere around 20, 24 millivolts. And when you bang your finger with a hammer, let's say you bang your thumb with a hammer, that voltage will climb right up to 70 millivolts, heal, and then come back down to a resting potential of somewhere around 20, 24 millivolts. So that the cell itself relies on that electrical potential. And so microcurrent helps the body restore. Helps the body maintain its electrical capacity, and also helps the body heal by clearing out blockages in communication. So microcurrent is, and when we're able to use and understand how to use microcurrent, it will help not only pain, not only inflammation. For example, we know that inflammation affects about 4,000 diseases or creates about 4,000 disease states in the body, so that we're starting to think that there's no more inflammation, there's no more disease, there seems to be inflammation that at the base of all disease. And so inflammation then obeys microcurrent. Microcurrent will actually neutralize inflammation almost on contact. So, and that's important because we all have different levels of inflammation in our body, and we understand that. We're starting to understand that if we could control or quench that inflammation that's not necessary, that chronic inflammation, then we could probably extend our lives by 25, 35 years. So is microcurrent important? Yep, it is part of our body. And by being able to use these devices and understand now, we can actually get these new devices to set up communication with our brains, get our brain's attention, monitor the conversation, and then go ahead and find these areas that are troublesome for the body that block out communication. So yes, that's what microcurrent is. Is any more? Can I define it any better?
No, I think you did a great job because it's a fascinating approach to healing. And I know, like you were saying, with the physical therapists in Texas, they're working with this technology, which is a little handheld device, simple, lightweight. I mean, I carry mine with me wherever I go and I travel. But it's been able to reduce pain. It has many applications. It helps regenerate the body, helps to induce calmness and sleep and reduce stress. It helps in the conversation we're having today in realigning the collagen fibers so the blockages that scar tissue is creating. And all scar tissue is creating blockages and energy impairments, a lack of proper communication, which will have some consequence sooner or later. It realigns those fibers. Is that what the microcurrent is doing, John? Is that correct?
It certainly does. Yeah, what it does, it helps rehydrate the collagen fibers as well, so that that three-stranded bit of collagen, if it's dehydrated, builds electrical capacitance instead of conduction. So what we want to do is we want to change it from a capacitor to a conductor so that it lets information flow instead of building it up.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Why don't you also talk about how the microcurrent technology can help build up collagen and why it's being used by lots of estheticians and in skin clinics? As a way to rejuvenate.
There's a fascinating story connected to that. It was first written, I first read about it in a book called The Body Electric by Dr. Robert Becker, who was a researcher back at Upper New York State University in Syracuse. And what he did was he was looking for this residual electrical buildup that always happened in a bone break or where there had been some kind of a bone injury. And he was given a bit of bone to study by NASA, because our astronauts, when they were first sent out into space, they came back with osteoporosis or bone loss very, very quickly, within 30 days. And they were amazed to see this, that these healthy individuals sent up into space would come back with bone loss, and they didn't know what was causing it. So they donated a bit of an astronaut's bone to Dr. Becker, and he did the research on it. And he found that bone itself was actually made up of two major substances. One was hydrogen hepatite, and the other one was collagen. And they connected with tiny little specks of copper. And he didn't know what the copper was at the beginning, but he found out later on that it was actually part of the conduction where our bone actually conducts with the ground, with the earth that we live on. And 7.83 hertz is what lightning strikes, hit the ground, and we have these frequencies that feed our bodies at 7.83 hertz, which is the same frequency that affects our brains. when we're in knee sleep digest and assimilate mode, our brain actually runs at 7.83 hertz. And that same frequency is when we are digesting and assimilating our food. Our digestive system works at 7.83 hertz, so we're definitely electrical. But back to Robert Becker, what he found was when he was looking for collagen, he said, I thought the hydrogen hepatite, in his book, he says, I thought the hydrogen hepatite would have been that electrical medium that I'm finding in injured bone. But it wasn't. I couldn't pass current true hydrogen hepatite. But when I took collagen and I broke it down, I matted it up, I put it in a blender, and I had these rat's tails in my office, and I put them into a blender, and I made collagen soup out of them, and then I put it into a petri dish, and I passed a slight electrical current through the petri dish, and lo and behold, the collagen all lined up again. So obviously, slight electrical charge will line up matted collagen. Now, what keeps our features and our body looking like it should, except when we get older, our collagen gets older as well and loses its elasticity, and everything heads south, which is unfortunate. But that's how it is. We're starting to discover that by passing slight electrical charge through collagen, the same collagen that keeps our features, that it will actually strengthen the elastic tissue that keeps our faces in place. So at the beginning, I was having a hard time getting people to understand that this could actually neutralize inflammation that was causing pain and chronic pain in a lot of people. So then my wife said to me, she started using this on her own face, and she said, well, maybe people are more interested in its values as a facelift, and they would actually for getting rid of pain. And we noticed that, and when we were doing these big seminars where thousands of people were attending, actually we would get hundreds of people that would line up to get a treatment. And when we only had a few minutes per person that we could devote to them, and my wife would ask him, what would you like me to do for you? Do you have a pain in your knee? What's going on? I'd say, well, I do have a pain in my knee, and it's obvious, but would you treat my face? So we started to understand that people were really, really interested in the vanity part of what this device could do for them.
That's so interesting. That's why these various skin clinics are now using a device similar to the microcurrent technology we're talking about. They're different units, and the one that I have that you introduced me to, which is a user-friendly device for lay people, is called the Avazia Life technology, microcurrent technology, which does everything we've been talking about. It's a very simple device, and I have to say I have had great results with it. I've had great results with pain. I've helped people calm down and relax. I've been using it with people with scarring. I have found, John, I don't know if this is your experience, but there's the site of the incision. There's the site where that skin has been cut, but the scarring could actually be much more pervasive in the body than just at the site. Have you found that as well?
Yeah, especially through periscopic interventions. Where they go in with these tiny little microscopic scissors, mm-hmm. and they'll cut in below the tissue. So all you get is a point of insertion, but you don't realize that they've actually gone in and cut through a lot of tissue before finally getting to the gallbladder or whatever they want to get to. And also adhesions, where they'll go in and they may accidentally or otherwise touch the organs such as the large intestine, and you get these different adhesions. I believe that every time they do go in and cut into the skin, if you read anything about Hippocrates at the time in his writings, he said, don't even cut for stone. Be invasive only as a last resort. Let the body heal on its own. It has. Give it the ingredients necessary for its own reestablishment.
Well, I have to say that since I've been learning about microcurrent technology, and you really inspired me. So that's how I got to own this Avazia unit. And I think that it's really important for all of us to own devices that support and enhance our health, so we can be more, you know, responsible, so we can be in charge. We have the tools to help our bodies heal rather than think we have to run to the doctors or hospitals. So it's empowering for us. And I love this little device, and I think it has so many applications. I know you have shared so much already in our conversation how you've gotten great results with anyone in chronic pain. It accelerates the healing process in general, reduces inflammation, helps with the scarring, can be a way to have a natural facelift. It's huge, you know. And so one of the things that I want to let people know, because I believe in this technology, I use it, I have it, I incorporate it in my practice, is to offer people an opportunity to get their own Avazia unit. So we've talked about this before we did the show, and what people can do if they are interested, they can first of all go to your website where people can learn more about it. So is the best place to go to learn more PacificHealthOptions.com, John?
Well, probably what we've done is we've set up a site called TheAcademySales.com.
Okay, so the Academy.
Or you can go to PacificHealthOptions.com is one site, and the second site is TheAcademySales.com. If you go to the PacificHealthOptions.com site, it will link you to that other site as well.
Okay, so the best one really is the Academy.
Sales.com.
Sales. Okay, the Academy Sales.
And what happens there, you've got some videos and things that you can take a look at. You've also got definitions or descriptions of the technology itself and each one of these devices and which way they could help you. And what I'm trying to do is we have hundreds and hundreds of testimonials, and I'm trying to sort them out by category, because you can go from chronic regional pain syndrome, fibromyalgia, we can, you know, work with toothache. There's just about so many things that we have, that, like the fellow that I spoke about earlier on, who came in after 38 and a half years of limping, of struggling, and then 20 minutes later he's back to normal. And one of the questions that people would ask is how long ago was this, and is he still normal? Did he go back to his cane and do his pain medication? Actually, no. He's asking me to become a distributor in Chicago.
Wow, that's a real testimony.
He has his own device, and he's now working with animals in the veterinary clinic, where he helps animals that have been damaged to regain their health. And he says that they work even faster, works even faster on animals. So he's fully recovered. He's actually doing very well.
And that's, I mean, the other point you just brought up is that this is a device that is being used to help heal animals and of all sorts. You know, I know there are people using this with horses or, you know, cats and dogs, et cetera, et cetera. So any mammal can be benefited by for introducing them to the microcurrent technology.
If you're a mammal, you're a model, you're in luck.
You're good. I don't know about reptiles and mammals for sure. So here's what you're offering, and I think it's a wonderful offer. So John is offering people who are interested in the Avazia Life Unit, if you want to purchase a unit for your own healing, to have as a healing tool in your repertoire for yourself, your family, or in your practice, then he is going to offer 2 1-hour personally supervised training sessions. So this would be on Skype, I would imagine, right, John, or Zoom or one of those platforms?
Yes, Skype works well, yeah.
Okay, so
works better than it ever did.
So this is live time. So Dr. John Hashay will be with you, teaching you, answering your questions, going through it in 2 1-hour training sessions, which I thought was an amazing gift he's giving you if you are interested in purchasing. So the way to get that, that's not offered on his website, right, John? This is not a general thing you're offering. People aren't going to find it. You have to enter a special code. So John has given me the coupon code. So we've decided it'll be DRS for like Dr. Cheryl, Dr. S, DRS is the coupon code. And if you purchase a unit, put that code in there, then John will get back in touch with you, and you can then organize these 2 1-hour personalized training sessions with John, going through everything to learn how best to use the device and get the most from it, which I thought was a fantastic offer. I'm really excited about the fact that you can have this time with the world expert on microcurrent technology. That's an amazing offer, I have to say, John. Thank you so much for making that available to all my listeners. So,
you're very welcome. It's my pleasure.
And I really hope people will, you know, go on to the website. Go to the Academy Sales. I think that's the best one to go to see the videos, get all the educational material, understand why I'm excited about this technology, why it has changed the lives of so many people, and why it's something you may want to have in your own possession for yourself and others. And I just want to personally thank Dr. John Heche for being with us today, for always being such a source of inspiration to me and a wealth of knowledge and learning. So I keep expanding and, you know, going along on your journey, John, as you keep learning and healing. You inspire me, and thank you so much for the great work you're doing and your wonderful, generous, heartfelt spirit. You're a real treasure.
Thank you very much. That's worth the applause.
We'll keep on going. You're so welcome. And to all of you listening, thank you so much for joining me. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Until next time, bye for now.